The following broadcast of Sioux Valley Voice was recorded earlier. You will not be able to call in during the next hour. To listen to this or any episode of Sioux Valley Voice, visit us online at ktna.org. The next live show will be Wednesday, September 23rd, with candidates for Mat-Su Borough Mayor. You're listening to KTNA 88.9 FM Talkeetna, streaming from ktna.org. I'm Philip Manning, and this is Sioux Valley Voice. With the Mat-Su Borough elections just a few weeks away, we're continuing our discussions with the candidates running to represent you in Palmer. Today, my guests are Doyle Holmes and Randall Kowalki, candidates for Mat-Su Borough Assembly District 7. We'll be discussing issues facing the borough now and in the future and taking your calls. The number to call if you want to join the conversation is 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org. Mr. Kowalki, Mr. Holmes, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So to get us started, each of you have been on the show on your own at some point in the last month or so. But just to refresh listeners, we'll let you each kind of introduce yourself a little bit. Mr. Kowalki, we'll start with you. Just a little bit about your background and why you're running for the assembly.
Well, I'm running for the assembly to fill the void that's going to be left by the absence of Vern Halter on our assembly. That was one of my primary motivators. My business background is 30 years in executive roles. When I decided to run last November, it was at that time that I started attending all the community meetings to make sure I understood what the current needs and desires of the district were, and I've been working to continue to expand that knowledge base.
Okay. And Mr. Holmes?
I'm basically running. I'm concerned about the increase in taxes, the increase in regulations, and the assault on private property rights. That's been three of my main concerns over the years. And the present assembly has kind of went too far in that particular area. A lot of people have asked me to run. They knew my record when I was on the assembly before.
Okay, well, actually, you touched on something that I wanted to cover as a topic, so we'll go ahead and start with that, which is the effectiveness of the current assembly. You said that, Mr. Holmes, you said that the assembly's gone too far on those issues. Can you be specific or provide, how would you go about changing that?
Well, I was part of a movement back in around 2002 or 2003 to put a revenue cap on what the borough could actually raise in each year. And what's happened during this budget session, rather than face up to the fact that revenues from the outside the borough itself are going to be going down, the assembly chose to basically use a maneuver called a notwithstanding clause to violate that cap. And they violated it by quite a bit of money, over $2.5 million. So that concerned me. They've also pressed for zoning issues, particularly in the Meadow Lakes area, and that, in my opinion, needs to go to a vote of the people of that particular area.
Okay. So when you say
those are two main issues, and they keep putting more employees on because they keep putting more regulations on, and every time you put a new regulation on the books, it's going to cost more money, and more employees and more taxes to support that. So that's right now about a 5-2 in that particular area.
Okay, you're saying as far as votes, 5-2,
right? Okay. So two of them at the present time, three of them at the present time are going to be. Two of them for up for election, mm-hmm. and one is vacant.
And that's the seat you're running for,
right?
It's going to be left vacant.
I believe Mr. Arvin's seat also is going to be vacant.
That's true. He is termed out. So
we've got a real chance and opportunity to possibly change the direction of the assembly.
Okay. Mr. Kowalki, same question. Effectiveness of the current assembly and what you would do in their stead, or in Mr. Halter's stead specifically, if elected.
Yeah, I think the current assembly has been faced with a huge amount of challenges. And obviously, I agree that there are going to be more fiscal challenges ahead. My proposal for facing those is to work collaboratively with the assembly members that we end up having. I know we have a large divergence of political points of view, say from Mr. Culligan to Mr. Sykes. I've met with both of them, talked with both of them, believe I have the ability to work with both of them. And I hope, again, to involve everyone in a program of critical thinking and problem solving. I'm not sure attacking the borough employees is the answer that is going to be helpful to us, and it's certainly not one that I'm taking.
Okay. So one of the things you've both mentioned, kind of the splits on issues within the current assembly where people fall on certain issues. One thing that there seems to be fairly universal support for is the Port McKenzie rail spur and the development of Port McKenzie as a means, as an economic driver for the future of the Mat-Su borough. When dealing with that right now, when you're talking about the expansion of the railroad, but the big question right now is funding. Where is that going to come from? You know, the state's been involved, but obviously the state's facing big fiscal problems right now. The railroad itself has been having issues for a while. Does the borough have the money to finish that project on its own or to get the loans if they need to? Does it go through the state? How does the borough need to advocate it, or does it need to continue to advocate the expansion of the Port McKenzie rail spur? And we'll start with Mr. Kowalki on this one.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely critical that happens. In addition to that, and I realize that the state isn't going to be able to carry this forward at this time, but the Kubota Bridge needs to be built. The rail spur, highway link from the port, those things need to happen. Recognizing that money's not going to come from the state, I believe we need to take a look at whatever creative bonding solutions we might be able to use through the borough to help in that process. But we need to do this. We can't expand a tax base, which we need to do, without development. And the crown, or the jewel in our crown, is that port. And I'm also planning to meet in the very near future with the Kanikwatna tribal folks who have additional economic development projects that are going to be able to go forward with the completion of these infrastructure components.
Okay. Mr. Holmes, same question. With the fiscal state right now, how or does the borough need to continue pushing for the Port McKenzie rail spur?
Yes. The port itself, I think most people in elected offices know that I was pretty well responsible for that port taking place down there. And the railway itself is going to be important with hopefully the development of the gas line that's coming down through the Mat-Su borough. All of that steel is going to have a way north, and I don't think they're going to allow that to go through Anchorage. And so that's going to create a lot of problems. And so I've supported the railroad. Unlike my opponent, there is no way that we're going to be able to put money from the Mat-Su borough into that. We're about almost $200 million short. That kind of indicates a lack of understanding of the borough finances, because that kind of money is going to represent at least 10 to 15 more mills within the Mat-Su borough to come up with that kind of money. So we would never be able to do that, and I would not support borough money going into it. However, I don't believe, again, like my opponent believes, that the fiscal situation in the state is that dire. I don't. Our legislators are not going to allow those projects to turn into rust out there. They're going to find a way to come up with the money for that.
Okay, and you did that because it's already underway, you think?
Or? Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, there are groups within the state government that want us to believe that we're in that type of serious problem. We have a problem. There's no doubt about it. But I think that the legislature knows a lot more about it than what is actually coming out. The government itself, the executive branch, of course, is pushing for an income tax. And that would be the last thing I think that we should even start considering. They have enough money hid out in all of these, I call them rat hole accounts, that it's unbelievable. So I think that those projects will go forward. If you'll notice, they made a big splash that none of these things are going to happen because we don't have any money. And then all of a sudden, the money's been found, and they're starting to keep going forward with those things.
Okay. So moving to the next topic, which is related, which is the growth of the borough. Port McKenzie, it sounds like you both believe that Port McKenzie and the development of that port is a way to stimulate economic growth as far as accommodating the population growth of the borough. You know, we've heard recently that school district has received twice as many new students this year as they were anticipating. There is a brand new school that was just opened, but the population continues to grow at a prodigious rate at this point. So how does the borough adapt to that? Is Port McKenzie and Point McKenzie area, is that the answer, or is there something else? And Mr. Holmes, we'll start with you on this one.
The gas pipeline coming down through. I think that we really just need to, my priority is taking a look at how the actions of the Mat-Su Borough Assembly affect people's lives out here, really. Then a lot of these mega projects, well, they'll come along. But taking action at the assembly level can dramatically affect taxes coming in. And a good example, back in the 90s, we passed a couple of issues there that, number one, cut down the inventory tax. I got rid of the personal property tax, which took 20,000 people off the criminal rolls who never paid it. And we, when we decreased the airplane tax, a good example there would be our people with aircraft maintenance facilities and things like that were basically taking their aircraft to Birchwood. When the assembly decreased that from a full 100% assessed evaluation, which some planes were $2,000 a year, those airplanes came back to the valley. And then in the process, there were many, many hangars put up. Maintenance facilities started to grow. And in the process, when those properties were built, then property taxes from those facilities offset the loss of that of that airplane tax.
Mr. Kowalki, same question. Population growth of the borough, how does the borough need to prepare for and cope with that?
Well, I think what I learned at the school district meeting recently was that the school district is nimble and on their feet. Our grandson attends, and in fact will be in the first graduating class at Reddington. There are already 60, 70 students over their projection. The district is reallocating resources, but we are growing, and we're growing rapidly, and that's my hope. Rather than the attacking the litany of taxes that Mr. Holmes had done away with, is to deal with these issues, that we are growing. We need to look at a holistic view. The areas where folks are interested in growth, Houston is one of those communities that is tremendously excited about economic development and community growth. You take Meadow Lakes, not so much. They've been under the pressure of the road programs, the road additions, road extensions. So we want these activities to take place where they're welcome, and I believe that everything that we can do to increase our property tax base is going to help the borough, and I'm all for it.
Well, you mentioned Houston, where, of course, they're having big budget problems on a municipal level there. So you're saying that that's where people are excited about more people coming in and buying property?
That budget issue was actually created in prime by an accounting error that occurred during the budget cycle a year ago. I've been at those assembly meetings, and that's what I learned. After the fiscal year started, they've managed to regain their standing. Not that that hasn't been a challenge, but it's not a catastrophe. And yes, Houston, by and large, are very interested in seeing their tax base grow, and they're excited about the port.
Okay. Well, let's talk about another vital service, what most people would consider a vital service of local government, as it's provided now, at least, and that's emergency services. Of course, up here, the local fire department's been in the news. But beyond that, at the borough level, there's been concern about turnover and retention and recruitment, as well as maintenance and things like that. And the emergency services director, Bill Gamble, laid out a plan a few weeks ago before the borough assembly about how he wants to address some of those issues. So, and before I turn it over to y'all to answer, if you want to join the conversation, the number to call 733-1200 or email dj@ktna.org. So we'll start with Mr. Kowalki on this one. With how does the borough need to address emergency services going forward? Because there is a staffing issue right now, and there's some concern.
Right now, you are observing emergency services through a lens of, I think, minor confusion. There've been a number of position change out at the executive levels. There's been, in what in my opinion is, a lot of undue meddling by the current mayor in these processes. I know a couple of folks that have left the department at the senior level because of that. I think we need to give Bill Gamble, who I have every confidence in, and his folks time to shake this out. I've heard the war stories, the 6 years without the oil change, being in one of the fire units here in Talkeetna, some of the other things that we watched. I have every confidence that we can get the reins drawn in, a universal organization throughout the district and how these operations are going to be run. One of my top priorities in that subject matter is personal and close to home. I want to see our ambulance from Willow return from Houston so that we can have availability to it. So I recognize there are problems. They need to be worked out. I want to see a collaborative group effort with input from the entire district in how we solve these things rather than a revenge-driven headhunt.
Okay, and so you mentioned that Bill Gamble is fairly new in position. He's been replaced Dennis Brodigan, who stepped down a few months ago, just for clarity for the listeners. Mr. Holmes, same question on emergency services and what the borough needs to do going forward to make sure that it's continued.
The very first thing is to start lobbying the state and the federal government to change the 29.9-hour limitation on volunteers. After that, they become full-time employees, and so it's caused quite a problem. Why the assembly is not speaking out on that, I just don't know, but I will be a voice for that. Mr. Gamble and I have had some differences over the years, and of course his solution is to more fire department, more fire stations, more taxes, more of that, but it never gets more people, and that's the biggest problem that we've got. The issue up here, which my opponent is fairly quiet on, is Mr. Gamble's and his crew, Mr. Barkley and Chief Green, they have an MO that it goes something like this. They want to increase the taxes within a particular fire service area. And how they go about that is they will pick some kind of a minor issue with the current chief, especially if there's some kind of controversy going on between them. Usually there is. And they will pick that issue, and they will somehow figure out a way to get rid of those people at the top, the chief or the head, you know, whoever the captain is that's speaking out in opposition to what the administration wants to do. So that happened in Willow. It's happened in the Butte. It's Mr. Gamble, Mr. Barkley, and Chief Green, and they've already started that little issue up here. At the community council meeting that night, Mr. Barkley said that was his goal, was to have a permanent fire chief here in Talkeetna. And so Mr. Kowalki has supported those people. and that particular issue. When they came to Willow, they went right through that same MO. Came to Willow, fired our fire chief, replaced him with one of their persons down in Central. That was a full-time paid person. Found all kinds of problems. They ginned up a whole lot of things. Mr. Kowalki joined them. They ended up doubling our fire service area taxes down there. We wanted to put it on the ballot. If we're going to solve those problems at the service area concept, we're going to need to involve the public. What do you want? What type of fire department do you want? And so that is my approach. Find out what the people want. We tried to put that tax issue on the ballot.
In Willow, you mean?
Yeah, in Willow. My opponent worked with a group down there, a small group of people. I believe that they thought they were going to, it was all a campaign for running for office at the time, and it still is. They pushed through that issue. We wanted to, the fire board wanted to put it on the ballot and ask the people what they wanted in that particular area, and that was rejected. And so we got our fire service area taxes doubled, and our fire chief is gone. I would caution the people up here in Talkeetna to be aware of that particular MO. Watch what's going on. Okay, I hope that it does not get to that level here. I believe that a lot of it right now, the administration, Mr. Gamble, is backing off on that because of the election. And I'm very concerned about what's going to happen to Mr. Dinkwalter and Mr. Chappell when the election's over. Okay. So,
all right, Mr. Kowalki, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to that.
I would appreciate it, because what my opponent has said was a mischaracterization of 99% of the facts. Again, in the time we've been meeting here this morning, this is the fourth or fifth conspiracy theory that he's generated, identifying the source as being the borough. I was at the fire board meeting when the previous Willow chief was fired for cause. The fire board chairman, Doyle Holmes, recommended to him in a public meeting that he sue the borough. So I'm not seeing quite how beneficial that is. My position has been that the mill rate for the service areas have never been put on the ballot, except the one time that Chairman Holmes got it put on the ballot in Willow and then worked overtime to defeat it. The road service areas don't put their mill rates on the ballot. The fire service areas don't put their mill rates on the ballot. As part of this being a huge conspiracy by my friends to elect me to office, there's a reason they want to elect me to office, and it has nothing to do with the fire service area. Regarding the mill rate, I got an email yesterday from one of my hopefully future constituents that his fire insurance had dropped $366 this year because of the new Crystal Lake Station. And what those of you who hadn't thought about it very long might not realize, that property taxes are tax deductible. So you have the deductibility of property taxes and a drop in your insurance rate. To me, that sounds like a win-win.
Okay, so let's move on to another issue that the borough gets involved with, and that's funding for schools. And excuse me, right now there is a question. The local contribution requirement has been challenged fairly successfully thus far, though that process isn't quite finished as far as requiring schools to have a local contribution of a certain percentage of the total budget and things like that. Ketchikan, I believe it is, has challenged that the state should potentially be picking up more of that tab, and that the local governments in many cases might not be able to shoulder that and that burden that they're being required to pay. Mr. Holmes, we'll start with you on this one. And that is, what do you see as the local role when it comes to funding schools, or is that something that the state should be taking more of?
The state should. That's what the court battle's all about. It's the state's responsibility to fund schools. They have, through state law, to make it mandatory that the organized boroughs come up with a four-mill equivalent. Mm. And that has always been supported by the Borough Assembly. I supported it when I was on the Assembly. If that court case wins, and then whether or not the state's going to come through with the same amount of money that the borough is putting into the schools now, I don't know. But I would hope that they do not preclude the local governing bodies from voluntarily putting money into the schools. So that would be my approach. And then again, we'll be arguing in great length and detail of how much. But
sure.
That, I think, is what the court case is all about. If it comes about, I think they've totally just – they've actually postponed that till mm-hmm. after this election cycle and into next year. And I'm sorry, the budget cycle, to give the legislature some opportunity to start figuring out how they're going to come up with the money to do that.
Mm.
And I think that that Ketchikan's going to win. So that'll be a local issue. How much money do we put in?
Right. Okay. Mr. Kowalki, same question.
Yeah, I read this morning where that issue is at the Supreme Court. Went there, I think, this morning. In the state Supreme Court. Yep. So we're going to be getting a resolution to that. I would agree from looking at how it got there that I believe Ketchikan probably will win. What I think is going to be the distillation of running to the bottom line on this, if it costs $10 to get from here to Willow, it's still going to cost $10 to get here from Willow, regardless of what the Supreme Court decides. So it's just going to be a reallocation of the monies that are moved around. I don't see if the state has to cough up $200 million that they didn't have to last year, I can guess that revenue sharing to our borough and communities are going to drop by about $199.9 million. So I think that's going to be the shell game that we're going to have to avoid, which is, again, why I think we need to be paying attention, working collaboratively as a borough, along with our legislators, and seeing that we have a smooth transition, which I think is going to be a speed bump in this whole process.
Okay. Well, we're getting close to the bottom of the hour. If you would like to participate in the conversation in the second half, the number to call is 733-1200, or you can send an email to dj@ktna.org. We do still have a couple of minutes left before we take a break here at 10:30, so I'll ask we'll deal with one more question, and we'll start with Mr. Kowalki on this one, and that is, if you are elected to represent District 7 on the Mat-Su Borough Assembly, what is your first priority?
My first priority is to bring a sense of cooperation to the borough and whoever the new mayor is. I would like to see a work session to look at the issues, what we have going forward. There are a number of departments that need attention. I think planning is one of those. Certainly we've discussed emergency services, and while I'm defending Bill Gamble and his effort to straighten it out, I recognize that there's ways to go. I want to make sure that process is installed. Those would likely be my very first areas of interest.
Okay. Well, and I guess to expand on that, you've mentioned a couple of times what sounds like fostering a sense of compromise.
Yes. It has to happen as we head into this, what could be a financial apocalypse. I, like my opponent, believe there is a $3 billion budget shortage. I don't hold to the conspiracy that there are billions hidden in various accounts. Hopefully that isn't an accusation of wrongdoing against our legislators, but I don't believe that's the case.
Mr. Holmes, same question. First priority, if you were to be elected.
To change the approach that the President of the Assembly is taking. They listen to 5 or 6, 8, 10 people. If 15 people show up on an issue down there, they feel that they've got to take action that night or within the next 2 weeks. It's a crisis that's got to be solved. My approach, compromise is not a bad thing, but the five people on there right now don't want to compromise. The mayor tried it, and they overrode him in almost every case. It's their way or the highway. And so my approach is find out what the people that I represent really think about some of these issues before the assembly takes action.
Okay.
When I push that button, my first concern is, how is that action going to affect people's lives? And if I can't answer that question, or the assembly can't tell me that, then I want to know how that's going to affect their lives. And right now, that's not happening on that assembly.
Okay. Well, we are just about to 10:30, so we're going to take a quick break and be right back with the rest of Sioux Valley Voice. The number to call if you want to join in on the next half hour, 733-1200. And we're back with the second half hour of Sioux Valley Voice. My guests today are Randall Kowalki and Doyle Holmes, candidates for Mat-Su Borough Assembly District 7, which includes the KTNA listening area and some areas to the north and south as well. It is definitely a large district with a lot of diverse concerns and diverse business and population densities and everything in between. So that's where I want to head next with the questions. If you have a question you'd like to ask, the number to call is 733-1200. And I can't remember who I started with on the last question. Do you gentlemen remember? I started with you on the last one. Okay, I think that sounds right. Mr. Kowalki, we'll start with this one. Representing the diverse interests of an area, I asked both of you this question when you were on here on your own, but I want to follow up with it. Representing an area this large, from Meadow Lakes, past Trapper Creek, Talkeetna, almost all the way to Cantwell, as well as a lot of rural areas out to the east. How do you balance the needs and wants of a large area with a lot of different people with a lot of different desires of what they want the borough assembly to do?
I really don't mind going first twice.
Oh, sorry. I should have made a note, but I forgot.
Joke. We have with an 18,500 square mile district and a 25,200 square mile borough is a big area. We'd be 42nd on the state size. When I've talked with other folks about this, I've kind of compared it to what California at least used to be like, diverging in political points of view pretty radically from north to south, and what that meant and how to manage it. I think on the big borough-wide issues, at some point you have to push red or green, hope to get as much input as possible, and then make the best decision that you possibly can. Having said that, I recognize that the needs of Talkeetna are different than the perceived needs in Houston and, say, Meadow Lakes, Caswell, Willow. I started running a year ago, November, because I felt with this area I wanted to be up to speed, know what the locals were thinking, saying, and requesting, and be ready to address those issues with current information when I got on the assembly, and that's what I plan to do.
Okay. Mr. Holmes, same question.
It'll be the same story that I had when I was on the assembly before. I go about that job as kind of an employee of the people that I represent, and experience is the first criteria that people use when they hire an employee. And the job that I used to do was to take the issues of each small community to the table and present those ideas in a fair and unbiased manner and ask the assembly what they thought about it. The mayor jumped on me one night because I presented six different approaches to a problem. And finally, she said, are there any other options that you'd like to present, Mr. Holmes? And my comment was, that's my job, is to present those options to the assembly and find out what they want. I said, I didn't say I was going to vote for any of them or that I agreed with any of them, but that's my job, and that's the job of your assemblyman, okay, and your employees, to take Talkeetna's issues to the table, tell the assembly about it, see what they think.
All right. Well, we did have a call come in. I think I've got it picked up on the hybrid here. We're going to find out momentarily whether or not we've got that caller on. No, we've lost the call. Okay. So, if you do want to join in on the conversation, the number to call is 733-1200. So, you know, this is the Matsu Borough races. They are nonpartisan. But I know, Mr. Holmes, on a lot of your campaign material, you've written conservative on there. You made no mistake about that, and putting that out there as your image. How would you describe yourself? And I'm not asking for a party affiliation, but necessarily. But how would you describe yourself and your outlook on politics in general, and specifically with the borough? And this time, we will start with Mr. Holmes.
Try common sense approach for a change. That's what I'm best known for. The word conservative to me, there's at least two different areas. One is fiscal conservative, of which everybody knows that I am. A government should only be doing those things that people can't do for themselves. This mega project stuff, those things need to be really analyzed as to their advantages or disadvantages. The moral issues, I'm a conservative on most of those issues also. I don't have any problem convincing people that I'm a conservative. My record has been there for the last 38 years. My opponent's trying to convince everybody that he's a conservative, and he's not. Okay.
Well, Mr. Kowalki, how would you describe yourself politically?
I would describe myself, and I won't back away from the fact that I'm a registered Republican. Having said that, I don't necessarily drink an ideology Kool-Aid that requires me to have to follow a prescribed path. And what I mean by that is the closer you get to grassroots politics, the closer you get to the community in addressing the needs of those communities, I don't think you can be partisan. I think that's why this is really a nonpartisan race. I would have voted to have overrided all seven of the mayor's vetoes. And regarding Mr. Holmes' earlier comments about the two good guys on the borough, they voted against the mayor on those issues. One of the vetoes was not overridden. That is why I have hopes that we can collaborate to get things done. And that's what I want to describe myself as. This conservative brouhaha is who gets to get the elastic yardstick to decide who is conservative and who's not conservative. All my opponent has been able to do is just to attack me, whether it's reasonable or not, and that's been the pattern. So there we go.
All right. Well, we did work out the caller. We do have a caller on the line now. Bill, are you there, Bill?
Yes, I am.
What's your question?
Well, it feels like to me in the past we tried to make this a sit in the borough because the two northern areas are basically always overrun. We get to say what we want, but then the five core people do what they want. So what is the possibility of making a sit in the borough? I remember like 30 years ago when we tried to make one, Kelly and myself and a few others tried to make this a sit in the borough. What is your thoughts on that? I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Thanks, Bill, for the call. Mr. Kowalki, we'll start with you this time. It's a question that you hear. It's an issue you hear about periodically, which is the people of the north end of the borough feeling somewhat disenfranchised. How do you feel about the potential of a Susitna borough as opposed to the Matanuska Susitna borough?
I haven't thought about it at all, and any answer I would give off the cuff, I don't think would be respectful to the caller. I was here 30 years ago when we were voting on a regular basis to move the capital to Willow.
The state capital.
I don't think that worked out. I think it's an idea that could be explored. What my hope is that with the right outcomes on the elections that we have, that we can get a view that's not nearly as Palmer-Wasilla concentric. I recognize exactly what Mr. Schuyler was talking about. I'm also supporting the school board initiative that will bring the school board members into our individual districts. But frankly, Mr. Schuyler, I think that is a possibility and an interesting idea. Would want a whole lot more facts on the economic impacts before I headed down that road.
Mr. Holmes.
When I was on the assembly before, we actually took a look at it twice over the years. Bill, it kind of boiled down to the amount of money that it would take to run it, and how do you get a disconnect from the Matanuska-Susitna borough because of the bonded indebtedness for schools and those particular issues. Although it's a good idea, I looked at it with the administration. It was marginal at the time, although in 10 or 15 years, we've increased the number of people living up here, the property taxes that would be coming in. So it's a good idea. It's maybe a time to take a look at it again. And so it was, I think it was Houston North from the Big Lake Turn North, and that was looked at.
But at the time, it was fiscal entanglement, basically, was the...
Right. How do you get loose from what we've actually agreed to through our representatives and at the ballot over the years? And that is a serious issue.
Okay.
How much indebtedness would we have to take with us?
So if you'd like to call in and ask a question, the number is 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org. Let's move on to a couple of other issues. The first of which that I want to cover is commercial marijuana. Now, last year, the voters in the state approved Proposition 2, which allowed recreational marijuana, personal use, growth, possession, that sort of thing. What's still up in the air is commercialization. The state has to create its regs, and then there is also a local option that the borough can decide whether it's going to allow commercial activity on that. So if you were on the assembly when that issue comes up, which whoever wins this likely will be, what would your approach be? And Mr. Holmes, we'll start with you.
Well, the people have spoken statewide, so I'm kind of obligated to obey the law. And if it came to the assembly, I would be interested in seeing what the people would think about it. So if it's if they get enough signatures to put it on the ballot, then and it comes down that no commercial sales within the valley, then I would respect that.
I guess I should mention that there is an effort to get it on not this year's ballot, but next year's ballot.
Yes, I was kind of interested in why they couldn't get the number of signatures that they wanted. The other issues got on there. So
the explanation that the borough clerk gave me on that was that their process started later, so they didn't. Their deadline wasn't up. It was just the deadline for this year's ballot went up before they finished. That was what the clerk how the clerk explained it to me, at least. So, but likely next year we will see it, is also what she told me. So, Mr. Kowalki, same question.
Yeah, Philip, I'll concur. I got the same message that it wasn't that they'd run out of time on the initiative, but they run out of time for this election.
For the one ballot.
But, yes, I will share some of Mr. Holmes' view on this, that first of all, the voters have spoken. But what I find interesting and somewhat actually confusing at this point is that when you look at our borough, there were pockets that voted for it and there were pockets that defeated it. And I think it's going to be an extremely contentious issue with those kind of divisions. I think the local option is going to be the solution for our cities. They'll be able to directly decide what they're going to do as it relates to the rest of the borough. My only absolute for sure comment is if we're going to have the stuff, I want to tax it.
Okay.
I'm really concerned about, I guess, if all of the cities and the borough said no except Houston, then we're going to have another firecracker deal. And Houston is going to tax it, and they're going to have a lot of revenue coming in from it. And I don't know what kind of a climate that's going to bring to the center of the valley.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
Yep. So I'm concerned about having these, you know, a pocket of firecrackers again.
Okay. So it sounds like you're both in favor of if it does become legal, taxation of it at the borough level then.
Right. I think that we're going to be able to sell it. I believe that the state will license only those operators that have proven with a proven record of compliance with cigarette sales. I don't think they're going to allow it to be mixed with alcohol sales, but cigarette sales, there are many vendors in the valley that have never had a violation in 30 years.
Yes. So. Go ahead, Mr. Kowalki.
Yeah, on that line, I believe that the current regulations are being written by the Alcohol Control Board, so that makes me wonder where this is really going to end up and who's going to be able to sell it.
It's a big ball of wax, that's for sure. I don't think anybody's got all of the answers right now, that's for sure. So, okay. Well, so that's one issue that that is going to potentially be facing whoever wins this, well, likely facing whoever wins this election. There are two initiatives that are appearing on this ballot. Commercialization of marijuana is not, and it's again something that we covered while y'all were both here individually. But there are two. One is creating districts for Mat-Su Borough School District school board seats. Right now, everything's at large. You could have seven people from Wasilla. You could have seven people from Talkeetna potentially sitting on the Mat-Su Borough School Board. This would make it more in line, excuse me, with the way that the assembly works. So, Mr. Kowalki, we'll start with you. How do you feel about districting school board seats?
Yeah, as I had mentioned in an earlier comment, I'm 100% behind that. I think it helps remove Palmer Wasilla concentric school board, but the amusement of the imagery of seven Talkeetna folks running the school
would
district
would make those meetings interesting.
It was almost too much. The change in the election to me was a no-brainer until it became a brainer. I spent some time with the borough clerk who couldn't advocate but answered my questions, and I think there's a huge amount of unintended consequences. Then after that, I watched Anchorage move back away from that position, which they had been in. I'm personally going to vote against it because I think we're having enough difficulty with our poll workers and other things that hadn't been considered.
So. Just to clarify, though, then now you're talking about Prop 2,
yes,
which would move the borough election date to November to be in line with the state and federal election date, which is the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. And that is the other issue. Mr. Holmes, I guess we'll get your opinion on both of those then. Districting school board seats and the changing of the election date.
School board seats, I think, is probably needed. Get a little bit more rural representation on that. I was at first against the moving the election. The logic, I guess, that prevailed with me is it's going to get more people to the polls on local issues. the negative side of it from a person that's running for office, you're either going to have to buy a whole lot more signs to cover, or bigger signs to cover up the other guys, because they certainly have a whole lot more money.
With the state and federal guys, you mean?
Yeah, the local guys are going to have a, and ladies are going to have a big problem with that.
Right. And that's it would make, and well, and from the perspective of a broadcaster, it would make my life a lot more interesting in the run up to November. So we've got about 10 minutes left in the program. So we do have still potentially have time to take a call if somebody would like to make one, 733-1200, or email dj@ktna.org. We had an email come in, but I think it's unrelated to the show. It is indeed. So with the last little bit of time that we got left, I want to give each of you the opportunity to discuss your campaign and what you and how to find you out there in the web or in person or by phone or what have you. So we'll start with that. Mr. Holmes, how do people find you either online, in person, by phone, carrier pigeon?
Facebook. We have a Facebook account. We're also online, doyleholmes.com. My cell phone number is 373-8527. I would appreciate a call from Becky Long. I've known her for a long, long time, Becky, and I want you to know I still have all your handmade letters that you sent me over the years, and I hope you're still having a good time out on that lake. My record is pretty clear. If anybody that's been here a long, long time, I was served 10 years on the Matsu Borough Assembly. I was 3 years as deputy mayor, and that is a vote by the assembly members, so that shows a lot of respect for leadership. The school issues, used to every year make sure there was a lot of concern up here about cuts. They always used Talkeetna for some reason, and because they're very vocal, and I always assured them that's not going to happen. You will get the money, and everything will be fine. So I did. My name is on, I'd say, probably 80% of the schools in the valley back in those years. Supported money for the bond issue. I actually had to run the meeting because the mayor passed out and went to the hospital. And we took all of the $135 million of all of the state money for Meadow Lakes Elementary, Thielen, Larson, Talkeetna Elementary came out of that also. I've been involved with many, many of the school buildings themselves. Without the buildings, we're not going to be able to provide a safe and learning environment for our children. So that you will continue to see.
Okay.
I own Willow True Value Hardware down in Willow. Most people have traded with me from Talkeetna sooner or later. I was 21 years in the United States Navy, a decorated Vietnam vet. I'm a lifetime member of the NRA, member of the Outdoor Council, and a life member of the VFW. I'm also a member of the Talkeetna VFW, and my wife is on the Women's Auxiliary. And hello to Eleanor Ebling. Okay, new ace well. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Holmes and Mr. Kowalki. First, how people can find you, and then, if you want to distinguish yourself a little bit as a candidate, talk about your history and your goals, then go right ahead.
Yes. I also have a website, www.randallkowalki.com, Facebook page, and a phone number, 337-0805. I guess I'm kind of faced with at this point is for this last hour, my opponent's been referring to his experience. And while he's made it sound like that he should be, all the schools in the district should be named for him, that experience includes an indictment for theft. It includes violating voting rights, violating open meeting laws, APOC fines, recall elections. Mr. Holmes, if you count the recall in this election, has run for office 15 times. I think maybe Don Young surpasses that, but I'm trying to figure out what the motivation of this candidate really is, and I'm confused by that. My intention, as I've said over and over and over again, is to bring harmony, a working environment, not a revenge-driven headhunt, doing away with all taxes, all government, to bring into this next generation. I have three generations of my family living in the Valley, and I want to see us be successful.
Okay. Mr. Holmes, I am going to give you a chance to respond to some of that.
Sure. Anytime that a person runs for office and attacks the government, I will guarantee you they are going to respond. A lot of what Mr. Kowalki said was half-truth. Some of those old, that indictment thing was dismissed. In the process, the investigator that leaked that information to the press lost his job. The editor of the Frontiersman lost their job. They had to print a retraction at the time. So that was a setup to remove me from office. The recall effort in that particular situation, the manager lost his job promptly the very next year because the assembly removed him from that kind of activity. So anytime, and as far as election laws, I've spent, I think, right at $10,000 over the years challenging election laws to make sure that they were fair and not applied unevenly to different candidates. So again, yeah, that's me. I'm a very controversial person. When you throw allegations like that, then you need to know the entire truth of the matter. It'll start again. He just started it right there. The same stuff will occur again when I go down to try to straighten out that the government down there again. The same stuff will happen again.
Okay. Well, we do still have a couple of minutes left, and in addition to the ballot issues that we've discussed, in addition to the assembly seats and the school board seats that are up, there is a race for mayor, so I'm going to give you each of you the chance, if you'd like, to tell us how you're leaning in the mayoral race. You, under absolutely no obligation to do so. Mr. Kowalki, we'll start with you.
Well, I'm a registered Republican. I believe the mayor is, believe Mr. Holmes is, at least for part of his history. And so started with that point. When Mr. DeVilbiss announced that he was running as a running mate with Doyle Holmes in our district, I was disappointed that he didn't let us settle this race between us. Subsequently, Vern Halter, the sending assemblyman, has endorsed me, and I very much appreciate that. And I guess as a parochial view on this, if I'm sitting in Talkeetna and the guy who has been my assemblyman for the last 6 years and lives a few miles down the road is mayor, that's going to be a good thing for me. It's another one of those strikes against the Palmer-Wasilla concentricity.
Okay. Mr. Holmes.
No doubt about it. We're not running as a team, but I am supporting Mr. DeVilbiss. He was on the assembly with me for 6 years. I think he's on the MEA board. He was on the school board. His record is pretty clear, and he's a farmer from up in the Butte. Those 6 years I served with him, the decisions, I didn't agree with all of them that he made, but and I'm sure that we won't agree on every issue down there. But Mr. DeVilbiss has a proven record. He is not a tax and spender. So they're both good people. That's who I'm voting for.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That is just about all the time we have for today on Sioux Valley Voice. My guests have been Doyle Holmes and Randall Kowalki, candidates for Mat-Su Borough Assembly District 7. If you missed any of the show or want to listen again, we'll be rebroadcasting Sioux Valley Voice at 7 o'clock tonight. Or you can listen online anytime, ktna.org. Join us next week when my guests will be the candidates for Mat-Su Borough Mayor. This has been Sioux Valley Voice. I'm Philip Manning. Thanks for listening.